Welcome. I'm very chipper and excited today because the topic today is death. Now, I know in the pre-promotional links that I put out, I was trying to be very clear that I did not want this to be a morose or negative or depressing topic. I think I even called it the beauty of death in one link, because I did not want to set the tone for this to be a depressing topic. There's so much to say about death. And a lot of this obviously is impacted by my personal beliefs about what awaits in death and such. But I wanted to first start off with a couple readings. One is from the book Cat's Cradle by Kurt Vonnegut. And when I was in junior high and really struggling with some existential, why are we here, what's the point, the book Cat's Cradle, which is a fictional story about the end of the world and this religion, Bakunism, that surfaces and kind of spreads. The main tenet of Bakunism is live by the FOMA that make you happy. FOMA being interpreted as lie. So, you know, basically this whole religion is based on, hey, whatever makes you happy, believe that. Which kind of allows it's kind of a dig at religion by also kind of an embracing of certain aspects of faith. Like, look, it doesn't matter. It makes you feel better. Okay, so here is the Bakunist death prayer, or the last rites that you would be read as you are on your deathbed in this faith. And I'm going to paraphrase some of it because it has some wonky terminology that you need to read more of the book to get, so I'll just do my best. Okay. God made mud. God got lonesome. So God said to some of the mud, "Sit up! See all I've made," said God, "the hills, the sea, the sky, the stars." And I was some of the mud that got to sit up and look around. Lucky me, lucky mud. I, mud, sat up and saw what a nice job God had done. Nice going, God. Nobody but you could have done it, God. I certainly couldn't have. I feel very unimportant compared to you. The only way I can feel the least bit important is to think of all the mud that didn't even get to sit up and look around. I got so much, and most mud got so little. Thank you for the honor. Now mud lies down again and goes to sleep. What memories for mud to have. What interesting other kinds of sitting up mud I met. I loved everything I saw. Good night. I will go to heaven now. I can hardly wait to find out what else there is. Amen. And for me, that shift of just like, wait a minute, what if the point is that being awake to the miracle is the gift, is heaven, is the whole point? Like, that's, don't keep looking for more. That's it. And I've told the story a couple years later than when this was so comforting for me, when I went to Turkey and had an experience on this mountaintop where I felt like I had my first significant, like, spiritual moment, where I felt like in the wake of it I had this awareness that the purpose of life that I've been looking for was to experience life, to live it, that life is, you've got a day pass at the zoo and, you know, the point is to check it out. It's not to solve any mystery or figure out which is your spirit animal. The point is to just go, whoa, cool, ooh, long legs, ooh, crazy fur, oh, look at those feathers, oh, funny sounds. And then at the end of the day, be like, wow, that was an awesome park. Now, I recognize that a lot of people that I share this country with are attached to ideas of afterlife, attached to ideas of heaven. And to me, that is a really dangerous perspective. In that, if you become too wrapped up in the thought that the gift is waiting for you after this life, it diminishes the importance, the amazingness, the awesomeness of what happens on a moment-by-moment basis as we are conscious to this universe. I mean, really, you think God would create so much amazing stuff, so much, you know, photosynthesizing and so much the way our bodies work, the way all the animals interconnect, the way biosystems work, the way volcanoes and this and blah, make all of that and be like, okay, now I just want you to endure this. This is all a test because I got something awesome waiting on the other side. And actually, it's so awesome that all you do is just sit around and float. Like, really? That doesn't sound that awesome. In fact, if I had a free day to do whatever I want, I wouldn't just sit and float. I'd want to do stuff. I'd want to check things out. I'd want to have adventures and play. Which is one reason why a number of people I know, you know, in the depth of the bliss of Burning Man, you go, you know, I think heaven would be a lot like this. Like a lot of cool things to check out, a lot of things to participate in, a lot of games and a lot of fun, a lot of play. And more than that, a lot of pattern. Alan Watts, in one lecture, talks about how many of the spiritual faiths and traditions have, in their art, have patterns. Intricate Celtic knots and the way that temples and everything are decorated is this intricate patterns. And that if you look at that, and if you look at music, and if you look at so much that is kind of this outside the realm of utilitarian, like, why do we dance? Why is there song? Why do all humans connect in this rhythmic way? That maybe there is something about where we're being drawn to, maybe what heaven is about, being more connected to these rhythms and to these patterns. I think that resonates with me to a degree. But I don't see the afterlife as being anything like a heaven that is this kind of reward for life. I see them being reward after reward after reward. I kind of view God, the universe, the infinite cosmic intelligence, the flow, this love, the cosmic stream, all of this, I feel it as sort of an infinite consciousness. The collective conscious energy, life force, what energy, the force. That is this infinite consciousness that we are always a part of. And when we take human form, when we are born into this planet and this body, we are taking a break, a vacation from the infinite consciousness and experiencing the world from a finite consciousness. So in life, we end up experiencing the cosmos, which we are a part of, but we see it from this tiny vantage point. Kind of like Watts describes, like, let's say there is this truth, this God divine energy, and it's covered in a rubber ball with billions of pinpricks. And as the energy of this cosmic oneness filters through each pinpoint, that's us. And we experience the ultimate one consciousness through this little pinpoint. And I believe that in death, we are pulled back through that pinpoint and we rejoin the infinite consciousness. So the gift of the single point consciousness is a gift. I mean, in some ways, you cannot appreciate, you cannot see and feel the majesty of all when you are all. And so this is kind of the way the universe can go, okay, let me stop taking for granted this crazy thing that I've created and experience it through a pinpole so that I can actually get how awesome and amazing this is. And then eventually I'll return to the oneness. And that oneness is a level of awesomeness that words cannot describe. It's why the many religious faiths stumble and clash, is because I think many mystics and prophets, through whatever paths that they follow, they do experience that oneness, that connection of universal one God consciousness. And from that place, it's impossible to try to explain that to someone who has not experienced it. So we try to use words, and those words get corrupted, and we attach ourselves to words, and words are just symbols, and then it's easy to clash. But all I know deep, 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 deep down that that one consciousness is joy, is bliss, is beyond the perceptions of human consciousness, of human sensory awareness. So I know that in death, in the rejoining, in our when our limited consciousness rejoins the one consciousness, it is, perhaps it could be described as heaven, but in a heaven beyond what we could comprehend. We just do not have, we just don't have the ability. It's impossible. We are a cell in the massive organism. And it's like, could any one cell in our body understand the experience that we are having in this body? Absolutely not. In the same way, we in our one consciousness cannot understand the experience of being a part of the universe. We can surrender to that awe and I think get kind of, we can experience that oneness and that joy and that bliss in the same way that we're looking through a pinhole. Like you can't fathom the massiveness of it. Now, that isn't to say that when someone dies, or when anyone dies, that there isn't intense feelings of loss. But those intense feelings of loss are what is experienced by people who are still in a finite consciousness. I had an experience at Burning Man this last year, going through the temple. And the temple is the most sacred art experience or structure or I've ever seen. And it's this massive, impressive structure that then is covered in messages that people write to people that they've lost. And it is powerful because people share this just raw heart emotions of loss and of pain and of appreciation and of shared memories. And there's so much tears and there's so much energy and it's just like, it's incredible. And there was a point when I was kind of overwhelmed by the sadness. And then I started to kind of pull back and had this kind of visual of this each message of loss is only being experienced because of it is the echo of this vibration of love that was in someone's life. And so the source of that vibration is pulsing vibration of love is no longer in their physical world anymore. And so there is this transitional feeling of like, oh, this ache as that vibration shifts and changes. But it is still a part of your world. Kind of like the stars, you know? We can see and appreciate these stars that have probably been extinguished for eons. But it's still a part of our experience of our lives in the same way that people are. And we can still appreciate them. We can still, through the same imagination that we can go to future stressful things, we can still, and pull them into our now, we can pull in memories, laughter and experiences and memories of people and pull them into our now. We are the source, I mean, we are the collection of all the vibrations of all the people that we interact. And the people that impact us greatly, even when they're physically gone, our vibration is a result of those people. We cannot separate it. And that can be a joyous thing. When my grandfather passed, and still, as people like watch a video and then later realize that he's no longer physically here, they'll send messages like, I'm so sorry, you know, I just saw about your grandfather, I'm so sorry. And my feeling was always, whoa, not me, I'm definitely not sorry. This is sharing a portion of his life with my life, the fact that we got to overlap, the fact that I got to absorb that vibration, that it's still a part of me, is such a gift. More than that, the fact that he shared his death process, his fearless welcoming of death. He you know, would joke and talk about his little dorm room as his cocoon. He would talk about his little retirement village as God's waiting room. And he said something that really struck me. He said, if you could interview a fetus in the womb and say, hey, you excited? You want to go out? You want to go out in the real world? The fetus would be like, no, please, 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 please. No, I don't want to go out there. I don't want to go out there. Because it's scary and it's an unknown. And as our finite human consciousness, as it prepares for transition, we are in exactly the same state of prenatal ignorance. And so fear is understandable, but we can kind of talk through that and be like, oh, well, in the same way it's naivete that makes the baby scared, it's the same experience when we are scared of what that transition will hold. I think when you start to feel more and more that you are connected to everything, then it becomes less and less scary, the idea of losing your finite conscious window to it all. Partially because I think as you grow, you realize that your finite consciousness is kind of flawed. It's kind of got all sorts of judgments and values, and the more you can get that out of the way, the more you surrender to a more larger, timeless, beautiful awareness of the universe that is all connected. And from that state, like, oh, that finite consciousness I was fighting for, it's kind of the source of a lot of suffering. And then you can just start to appreciate, which I believe to be our role on the planet. Now, I'm going to just read one more thing about death. This is a book called Emmanuel's Book 2. Now, Emmanuel is a channeled entity, kind of like Abraham or Bashar. And what's great is that all three of those channeled entities overlap tremendously in the way that they explain things and see the world. And I would argue overlap tremendously with things that, say, Jesus or Buddha or Eckhart Tolle or Byron Katie, the way they see the world. It's kind of like this, I don't know where it comes from. I think it's channeled to us in whatever way, and then we interpret that as an alien, as the Virgin Mary, as whatever. And as it comes to us, it is a resounding truth. Now this is Emmanuel's answering some questions on death. He says, picture death as a stage. The stage itself is light, wonderful, beautiful, home. You, however, are in the wings. You are still human, and you are moving about in that darkened area, stumbling over props, tripping over scenery, bumping into each other, and frightened that you have forgotten your lines. There's confusion and turmoil, but the moment that you step into the light, it doesn't matter what the scuffling was before you got to stage center. It only matters that you are home again. Death is like that. Let me tell you a story about dying. You live a lifetime. At the end of it, you say to those around your deathbed, "What a long life! Why, I lived 90 whole years, and you know how much I did?" And then you die. You wake up and ask, "How long was I gone?" The being of light who is with you answers, "We hardly noticed you were gone at all. You just sat down and dozed off for a second, and here you are again. What kind of dream did you have this time?" So, from the way I see death, it's simply a reminder that this consciousness, this dream, this experience of the world, this time around, is a gift, is a treat, is an opportunity to enhance and grow in love and get more in alignment and be more giving and really elevate our vibration to the one of joy. And you do that through service, through loving, through giving. And it gets very simple. That being said, while even though I'm not afraid of death at all, that doesn't mean I want to stop the ride early, because it's awesome! And it is made more awesome because I share the ride with you. So many amazing people also figuring out their way, enjoying their little pinhole, figuring out how awesome it looks through their crack of light. Hopefully ever understanding that they are getting a piece of the whole, a whole beauty, amazing awareness that awaits them. Well, in any moment, but definitely waiting when the finite consciousness gives way to the infinite consciousness. May you live long and die beautifully. Let's have a hug. You ready? Let's do that. Grab yourself by the shoulders. Wow, what a cool vehicle to be able to cruise around and check out the universe in. And how cool that we got to be placed on a planet that has so much going on. One that's kind of got like poles on it and it wobbles, and so it has seasons. And things grow and die and grow and die and grow and die. What a cool teacher this natural world is. What a cool gallery it is. So we thank this body for letting us see and feel and smell and experience. And we thank the deeper levels of our consciousness that allow us to love and imagine and create. And we acknowledge that all of these pure expressions of the divine flow sometimes get covered up in a little shell of personality and values that can be helpful in traversing the challenges of the world, but when we're safe, when we're fed, when we're in shelter, we can let go of some of those values that don't really serve us anymore. We can surrender, we can let go, and we can simply appreciate and be. And we can look through the shells of identity and the to-do lists and the political aims and see through that in everyone we meet and know that they are a pinprick expressing the divine. And maybe their pinprick is all clogged up with these crazy external values so that that divine light is barely noticeable. But you can see it and you can feel it. And you can love them no matter what that shell is doing, no matter how that light is tainted. And so as we forgive others, we forgive ourselves, and we allow our light to flow as brightly and as purely as possible, unattached to what that might be or where it might bring us, what it might show us, knowing that the divine flow, the wisdom that governs planets and cycles and growth is far beyond anything that we could accumulate in a couple decades, even 10 decades. And so we appreciate, we surrender, and we love. Thank you, universe, for giving us so many opportunities for joy, for connection, for love. This is a front row seat as the cosmos unfolds. I'm one of the most beautiful places in the universe. We can not only see it, we can marvel at it. We can slap our friends on the back and laugh at how amazing it all is. Thank you for the ride. Thank you for it all. Take a deep breath and just let's sit in an awareness that we are sharing this appreciation with millions of brothers and sisters. On behalf of Grandpa Caleb and all the love warriors, happy Hug Nation. May you appreciate this ride. May your appreciation guide your actions. May you be a vessel of love and an ambassador to what you believe in and what you are. Thank you for being who you are. I love you. Happy Hug Nation. Namaste.
You only live once. Enjoy the color.